Well, we're coming to the end of another year, and Christmas will be celebrated by families around the world. Hi, I'm Glenn Haskell, a producer here at Misfits Audio. This year, I spent time writing three new short stories that follow what is now a four-year tradition. Join us as, together, we celebrate the season in stories. We begin this year's tour at a general store in the late 1920s, where the one who seems to know the most about Christmas doesn't celebrate it in the usual way. She came to the store she had candy to buy. The bell rings a welcome without asking why. He stands at the counter with wisdom to share. The conversation begins, and it's clear that he cares. A child's perspective so different, so strange, leaves the man thinking, priorities rearrange. In the end, he must confess he was less wise when Christmas was viewed through a child's eyes.
A Butterscotch Christmas.
What's this?
Candy.
Yes, I can see that. You like butterscotch, eh?
Yes, sir.
Why not peppermint? It's Christmas time, you know.
I know. I never tried mint. I might not like it.
Oh, I see. Are you looking forward to Christmas?
Forward to Christmas?
Why, the presents, the tree, and the meal. That's what. Christmas. You know, ho, 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 and giving gifts.
Who has time and money for that? That's what my daddy always says.
Oh, I see.
Mister, what's it like at your house, you know, on Christmas Day?
Perhaps that's not for me to say.
I won't let it bother me, then, mister. I'm just curious. So, why do you celebrate, mister?
Oh, lots of reasons, I suppose.
Yeah, but why, exactly?
Well, in my family, we remember the day is the time for giving gifts. A lot of them don't cost a thing.
How wonderful!
Sometimes we give a present instead of love and time. We want a special trinket when hope and kindness will be remembered longer.
If that's true, maybe we do celebrate it, mister. But I don't think we've ever celebrated with a tree, peppermints, or presents. Do you have to have those things to have a real Christmas?
No, I suppose not. Now, most do, but you wouldn't need those things to truly celebrate.
We do sing Christmas songs. My daddy reads from a big book about the first Christmas. Then we do exactly what you said we should for the rest of the year.
What do you mean?
We don't give presents, but we love each other. We don't shake boxes wondering what's inside, but we find ways to do things together. We always have hope, and we try to be kind to everyone we meet.
And here I was thinking you might be one of those children who missed out on Christmas. And here I stand seeing you hold that butterscotch stick, and I have to wonder if I've ever really celebrated Christmas at all. Maybe all I've done is talk about it.
What?
Oh, I thought I knew. I even explained it to you, but...
It's okay, mister. I learn something new almost every day. If you try hard enough, you might be able to learn new things, too.
Yes, well, I'll sure try.
I'd say you got gumption, mister, and that's saying something.
So did you want the butterscotch stick, then?
Oh, that's right. I almost forgot. How much is it?
Well, that would be a penny.
Ooh, then I'll take two, just so I can taste Christmas. I think I'll make the second one peppermint.
A very good choice, I think.
Well, if you will remember, I like to learn new things.
Yes, you did say that.
And you listen real good.
Well, I do try.
Well, you're good at it.
And your daddy? Why, he's a smart man.
Of course he is. He's my daddy.
Young lady, if you could celebrate Christmas any way you wanted, how would you celebrate?
Just down the road from us, there's a family.
The Watsons.
You know them?
Yes, they drop by from time to time.
Do you know Betsy and Luke don't have shoes that fit? They're real low on wood for their stove, and they never have enough food. If I could celebrate Christmas any way I wanted, I'd make sure they had food, firewood, and shoes.
What would you say if I told you that your 2 cents also bought 2 pair of children's shoes, a cord of wood, and everything needed for a Christmas meal and then some?
I'd say maybe we both learned something today, mister.
I am certain of it. Say, would you like to come with me when I visit the Watsons?
No, it's your gift, mister.
Well, remember, it was your 2 cents that paid for it.
You can't fool me, mister. Your heart paid the price.
When the heart pays the bill and generosity wins, it might just be time for a new story to begin. Under the steps with a dog named Scratch, Finn tries to hold back the cold of the blanket patch. How did he get here and why does he stay? Someone is looking and all will soon be okay. A run in the street and a ride in the sleigh brings Finn to a place that brings a better day.
A Home for Finn.
Once upon a time, for that's how the best stories start, Finn lived with his new friend Scratch. Finn was a ragged boy, somewhere between the age of holding his mum's hand when he walked and being called home when the sun was tired. Scratch was a small dog, his bark strange, his smell bad. Like Finn, Scratch had no home, no mum, no dad. Finn's bed was made of loose straw under the stairs of the shoemaker's shop. There was just enough room for Scratch. No one sang to Finn, but Scratch kept close. Often Finn wished to hear his mother's voice, but he couldn't remember the sound. Some would help Finn when they could, but it was not the same as having a real bed or parents. It was just not the same. Finn believed the best things were found in dreams, and when he dreamed, he had parents and a home with a bed and food. These were good dreams that squeezed tears through the eyes of a dreamer. Scratch often woke Finn by licking up the dream tears. The morning sun reached under the stairs of the shoemaker's shop. Finn was hungry. Suddenly, Scratch began his unusual barking. It sounded a bit like a cough or a sneeze or perhaps a frog's croaking. Little Scratch stretched his way out to Finn's arm and he ran. Finn followed. Scratch rounded a corner and Finn heard the jingle of a sleigh.
"What can this possibly mean?"
said a small coachman. Finn dashed into the road facing 8 majestic reindeer. Scratch barked, turning circles. This was the very sleigh of St. Nicholas himself.
"What news do you bring, tiniest of dogs?"
asked Lawson, a wise old elf. Scratch barked as his body wriggled. He coughed, he sneezed, he croaked. The elf listened, smiled, and then frowned. Did the elf understand Scratch?
"Enough,"
Clausen said quietly. Scratch stopped sneezing and returned to Finn's side.
"Young man," the elf said kindly, "my name is Clausen, and I've been waiting for you far too long."
Finn was frightened. He wanted to run away. Those who stood nearby watched Finn and Scratch get into the sleigh, and then the reindeer pulled out of sight. Finn's story held the elf's attention from first to last. Sometimes the elf would nod his head or sigh, but Clausen really listened. Suddenly the sleigh stopped. Scratch bubbled in excitement. His bark made Clausen laugh.
"I would like you to be my guest for breakfast, Finn. You are hungry,"
said the elf. Finn suddenly noticed they were no longer in the village, but in an enchanted snow kingdom.
"There is someone waiting to meet you,"
smiled Clausen. "But I'm not clean, and he being St. Nicholas, I..." Finn called a voice. It sounded just like his mother's. "Mum," said Finn quietly. "Son," called his father. Was he dreaming? Finn expected Scratch to wake him by licking his dream tears. Clausen looked long into the eyes of the young boy.
"Welcome home."
Finn's eyes filled with tears. This was no dream. Scratch waded over to the boy and whined in his own unique way. "Mum, Dad," Finn cried. "Is it truly you?" "We lost you in the forest when you were a small boy," his mother began. "We searched every day. Finally, we came here to ask St. Nicholas to help."
"I told your mum and dad I would find you,"
Clausen said.
"It has taken far too long. Scratch was sent recently to help. Our good friend did his job well. Today my greatest sadness has turned to joy."
"Merry Christmas, Finn," said his father. "You are the best gift ever," said his mum. There would be no need for his bed under the shoemaker's shop that night, or any other, for Finn was well and truly home.
Back with his family, Finn finds his rest. But for one family, there's come a new test. Three kids in their beds all snuggled and warm. But an emergency call brings on a new storm. For one committed dad who would rather be home. But the needs of another cause him to phone his wife and alert her to the task he must face. His response will take mercy, compassion, and grace.
The Imperfect Perfect Christmas.
Some people want you to think that Christmas is always perfect. Everyone gets the exact present they wanted. The food is always perfect. And everyone's home for Christmas, including relatives that you never met. I don't know why everyone thinks Christmas has to be perfect. There's no other day that's perfect. The first Christmas didn't seem perfect. I remember a Christmas that wasn't perfect. I remember it like it was last year. And that makes sense, because it was last year.
Oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree. How lovely are your branches.
Quiet, please. Mommy's on the phone. Hello?
Just got a call. We're heading out.
Pretty bad?
Won't know till we get there.
Will you be here in the morning? The kids are really looking forward to Christmas.
I'll be there as soon as I can.
Thanks, John. Love you.
Love you, too.
Is something wrong, Mommy?
Daddy's gonna be late. A fire call just came in.
Aw, Daddy. Oh.
We all want him home, Rigby. Just need to pray.
Dear God, please keep Daddy safe and bring him home.
Hello?
Poor family. They lost everything. We're still on site. The fire was just too big.
Is there anything we can do?
Still too early to know for sure.
Will you still be here for presents?
Not looking good, Katie.
The kids will be disappointed.
I know, but fires don't schedule appointments.
I know. Stay safe, John.
To the best of my ability, and for my family.
Joni? Chloe? Rigby? Wake up. It's Christmas morning.
What? It's still dark out.
I know. It's a special Christmas morning adventure.
What's going on, Mom?
You know that fire call Daddy went out on last night?
Yeah.
Well, he's still there.
Did he fail?
Yes. It was a bad fire, and the house was destroyed.
That's awful.
It is. That got me to thinking, why don't we take Christmas to Daddy's fire station?
Are you serious, Mommy?
I am. There's breakfast to cook.
A tree to put up.
A blanket on butter toe.
Yes, and that too, Rigby. Okay, kids, let's get ready to go.
Yee-hoo, yeah! Mommy, that tree has a good face of the twinkles.
We decorated it really good, didn't we?
You sure did. Breakfast is ready, the presents are ready, the gift bags.
Ready.
Yes, they are.
And Daddy is ready.
Daddy!
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 Let's eat, I'm hungry. I think the rest might be hungry too.
Breakfast is served.
You know, I've had a whole year to think about it. Maybe Christmas can be perfect, even when it isn't perfect. I don't remember what I got for Christmas, but I do remember eating breakfast with a lot of firemen who smelled like a campfire. I don't remember how the tree looked at home. I just remember how it looked in the fire hall. I remember the simple gifts Mom wrapped for each fireman. I remember taking Christmas to a place that wasn't expecting Christmas. And when we did, the families of the other firemen also came. And this imperfect Christmas became perfect. They say Christmas has always been more about giving than getting. I believe it.
Bells jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Hey, jingle bells, jingle bells.
You might think that I'm smart for my age. It probably won't surprise you. But just give me a few days. And I'll probably forget all about last Christmas, when an imperfect holiday was just perfect.
Not all holidays are perfect, but maybe we can find a sense of perfection in the imperfect circumstances around us. You know, that seems to be the theme of this year's stories. No real postcards from the cabin in a snowy meadow. No promise of abundant gifts under the tree. Just the celebration that offers joy even in the middle of sorrow. Answers in the middle of questioning. The stories and poetry in Holiday Review 2 were written, produced, and mixed by Glenn Haskell. The voices you heard were John, Katie, Joni, Chloe, and Rigby Dehnert, along with Destiny Garza. All other voices, Glenn Haskell. Poetry and the stories within Holiday Review were written by Glenn Haskell. Executive producer and webmaster, Captain John Tatterzak. Music provided by Incompetech.com. All characters portrayed in these stories are fictitious. Any resemblance to real persons living or dead is purely coincidental. This production is for enjoyment purposes only and is an original production by Misfits Audio. Copyright 2015. All rights reserved. From all of us, Merry Christmas.